Hit you with these activation charges and mystery fees.
That's a line drive right to the family jewels.
There you go, and it's not over. Then they nail you with data overages every month.
Good luck walking those off.
That's why you should just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. They have all the best phones from top brands for a whole lot less every month and without all the mystery fees and overages.
Okay, but what's the coverage like?
Straight Talk uses the exact same 4G LTE wireless networks that the big guys do.
Sounds like it might be time to switch to Straight Talk.
Best phones, best networks for a whole lot less.
And you don't have to wear a cup.
Unlimited plans start at $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
I'm Omar Reese with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The fight over Ezekiel Elliott's six-game suspension continues. Late Monday, the NFL filed a motion to dismiss an injunction request filed last week by the NFL Players Association to block any suspension that might be upheld by NFL appeals arbiter Harold Henderson. But the NFL is arguing that the Players Association suit is premature since Henderson has yet to rule on Elliott's appeal of his six-game suspension. Henderson has until 4 p.m. Eastern Tuesday to rule on the appeal. Otherwise, Elliott will be able to play week one. Elsewhere, we got our first injury report of the 2017 season for the Patriots and Chiefs Thursday night game. The biggest name on the list, Chiefs Pro Bowl tight end Travis Kelce, who was limited in practice by a calf injury. Le'Veon Bell practiced Monday after missing all of training camp due to a contract dispute, but the holdout of Rams All-Pro defensive tackle Aaron Donald and Texans Pro Bowl offensive tackle Dwayne Brown continues as neither reported to their teams Monday. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year mortgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 4th year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing.
It's 5:04. Welcome into the Todd Bromelkamp Show. We've been with you since 4 o'clock, although maybe you're just joining us. Tickets to Get the Lead Out coming up sometime between now and the bottom of the hour. Also, coaches' cuts on the way, courtesy of our friends at Network Computer Solutions. John Walters was with us in hour number one. If you missed it, the podcast will be available shortly at KGYMRadio.com. We've got a couple texters who are incredulous of what I'm wearing to the fantasy football draft tonight. So as I bring our next guest on board, Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com, Tom, ask me what I'm wearing.
What are you wearing?
It was very creepy, and that's why I
asked him to ask you that.
Thank you for explaining that to everybody, Alex. I have my Casey Kreider Denver Broncos jersey on. Tom, would you be intimidated if you walked into your fantasy football draft and saw somebody wearing a jersey of a long snapper?
No, but you guys have like a red carpet coming in so we can ask you what you're wearing?
No, but I like that idea. Kyle, make a note of that for next year. We'll have people walk the red carpet at the listener fantasy football draft. All you need to know, Tom, I know we talked a little fantasy football on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium. I had a draft on Sunday night. It's a two-quarterback league, and I wound up with Jay Cutler as my second quarterback. So I think my fantasy season is over, but it did allow me to name my team the Lung Darts, so I was excited about that. I want to get your thoughts and have you share them with the listeners on Iowa's win over Wyoming on Saturday. There seems to be a mixed bag, at least from Iowa fans at this point, I think partly due to the fact that they watched Iowa State beat the pants off of Northern Iowa later on Saturday night, and then they're looking at Iowa struggling against Wyoming, and they're trying to extrapolate results from both of those. Your thoughts on Iowa beating Wyoming?
Yeah, and I just don't think you can do that. But, you know, that's what we do this week is try to figure out what's going to happen in this next game. I was more impressed with Iowa's defense than I thought they would be. And I think, you know, kind of if you take it from the view from, you know, 10,000 feet or whatever, didn't you kind of expect Iowa's offense to have a little bit of a learning curve that they have to climb, given a new quarterback and Brian Ferentz as being the coordinator for the first time in his life? I just kind of think you're expecting that there was going to be some ups and up and down moments, at least in this first game. Now, I think they've got to get better if they're going to offensively, if they're going to win this next game. And I think they will, but it's still going to be a learning curve. I'm just way more impressed with Iowa's defense. I mean, I thought they were great, and they're playing without their best corner, and they played really well, and the D-line was terrific, I thought. The linebackers were outstanding, and the secondary played real well.
What did you make of Brian Ferentz's first game as the play caller?
Uneven, I think. Kind of just, I thought at times he played a little too safe, which kind of surprised me. I thought he'd take a few more chances, but some of that was they got the lead, and I don't think he wanted to take many more chances. But I thought it was, you know, they're kind of, they had some chances to make some plays, just didn't do it. But I thought they got better as the game went on, at least in terms of the run game. But I thought it was uneven. I was kind of hoping he'd open the bag of tricks a little bit more, and I think everybody was probably hoping that would be the case too.
Tom Caker joining us from HawkeyeReport.com. What are the chances that Iowa was just trying to get by Wyoming without showing too much of a new offense? Or is it just the fact that, as I said last week, this is going to share about 97% of the same DNA as the previous two offensive coordinators?
I think it's going to be a lot. Especially when it comes to the run game, I think you're going to see pretty much what you saw. Now, I think in the pass game, that you know, that seam route that Noah Fant ran was something we probably didn't see very often against Greg Davis. I don't think he tried to work the middle of the field as much as he probably should have. And I think we'll see more of that. But in terms of the run game, you know it's going to be balanced. You know they're going to try and run the ball and establish the run and tick the clock down. That's just Iowa's identity. As long as Kirk Ferentz is head coach, that is what Iowa's going to do, and they're going to continue to do that. They're going to continue to ride Akron Wadley. I think we'll see more James Butler this next week, and I think the other thing that kind of surprised me we didn't see is more of Akron Wadley in the slot and trying to get him the ball out in the flat in space where he can make plays with his legs.
The other thing that we kept an eye on was the offensive line. Alaric Jackson listed as the number one left tackle coming into this week. James Daniels is practicing. Looks like he might be able to go. But Kirk Ferentz said today that if Boone Myers is ready to play, he will play. Are we going to see him some at left guard this week if he's ready to go?
Potentially, if he's 100%. And I'd heard that they really kind of wanted to keep Boone out of the last game, but they couldn't because, you know, he had the high ankle sprain, and that was an issue that he was dealing with through all of camp. And he's going to continue to probably deal with that for a little while longer. So if they can keep him out, I think they're going to try to. Getting James Daniels back is going to be a huge boost to them. He's their best center, one of the better centers in the Big Ten and in the country. And he's just going to solidify things, and Keegan Render can move back to his normal guard position. I thought Jackson was pretty good at left tackle, but I also think Iowa State's going to come after him with some different looks and try to confuse him this week when they play in Ames.
The defensive backfield looked pretty good, especially against an NFL-caliber quarterback in Josh Allen, but I want to ask you about the other Josh. Josh Jackson, he's a guy that Kirk Ferentz referenced a little bit during media day and seemed to have complete confidence in with the Manny Rugumba suspension. Are we looking at maybe a future star in the making there in Josh Jackson?
Yeah, I think both he and Rugumba are. I just watching Rugumba last year, you could see that he had the potential to be very, very good. And Jackson's just come on, and Kirk talked about that before, about last 8 months, the light bulb has kind of come on for him. You remember he started the Outback Bowl with Regumba out, and Greg Maben was already out with the foot injury. And he's just, he's a really good athlete. And people forget, he's 6'2". So this weekend, you know, you look at Iowa State, they've got Lazard 6'5", Hakeem Butler is 6'6". They've got a corner who's got, you know, pretty good size to go up against those guys, and I think that's going to really help them this weekend. Regumba's not, you know, super small either. He's, you know, 5'10 to 6', somewhere in that range. So he's got pretty decent size as well. So they've got, you know, corners that I think can stand up to the size that they're going to see in the perimeter this weekend against Iowa State.
How good can this Iowa defensive line be?
Boy, it's it was pretty good this past weekend, and I don't think they really played up to their potential. I know the guy that everybody's kind of focused on is Epenesa, and they should. I mean, he played 10 snaps, and he made an impact on just about all of them, but they played him situationally more than anything else on third downs and passing situations where he could just kind of bull rush and go after it. I think we'll see that role expand a little more as the season goes on, where we'll see him in different down situations. I had one person suggest to me that maybe they should bench Parker Hesse and just play Epenesa all the time. And I thought that was kind of a little foolish at this point, because Parker Hesse is a really good football player. I also think Matt Nelson's going to help them. It was funny talking to him today, because he asked about the film, and he said, oh, Reese Morgan basically told me that I stunk. But I just think that's Matt being kind of trying to be a little bit dry sense of humor. He's going to add something in the middle, too, with his size, and I think that's real important. I thought Lattimore was good, and I think we'll see Anthony Nelson continue to be very good.
Six true freshmen played in Saturday's win over Wyoming. Did any of them surprise you by making an appearance?
Not really. They were all kind of guys that you expected to play. I thought there would be more, to be honest, just listening to Kirk on Tuesday, and he hinted that, you know, Brandon Smith for sure was probably going to play, and maybe even Max Cooper, and neither guy got on the field. So we're kind of in a holding pattern. They really, I thought the receiver rotation was really tight. I'd say, you know, I haven't gone back and snap counted it, but I'd bet that easily Andor Vandenberg were out there probably for about 80% of the snaps together or singularly. And I thought there'd be more Devontae Young. I thought there'd be a little Brandon Smith. I thought there might be some Cooper. There just wasn't anything else there. And maybe they're going to throw that out there a little bit. You know, and then you worry about the one guy, Amir Smith-Marset. And Todd, you and I had immediately joked about when he fumbled that he was headed to the doghouse, and we'll never see him again. But I think they'll get him back out there and give him another opportunity to make some plays.
Be a good opportunity. If I ever get out of this business and I have enough money saved up, I may open a hot dog stand right next to Kinnick Stadium and call it Kirk's Doghouse. It could be a lot like
it would,
like Mustard's Last Stand in Evanston, right by Ryan Field.
That would be great, right there. Maybe right by the where the Hawkeye Express unloads. Maybe
yeah,
they'll let you put one there.
No ketchup on the hot dogs, though. We were talking with John Walters last hour, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, about the tenor that's surrounding this game now, with Matt Campbell not saying Iowa or the Hawkeyes. And John was quick to point out that this was sort of started by Brian Ferentz over the summer when he referred to the Iowa State coaching staff as those guys in Ames. Are you a fan of taking the rivalry sort of in a new direction here with the, I don't want to say it's the cuteness back and forth between the two staffs, but this is something that we really haven't seen out of Iowa State in the previous 35, 40 years they've played.
Yeah, and the one guy who won't get involved in that is the head coach of the University of Iowa, who's not going to play that game. I just find it interesting that Brian Ferentz got in Matt Campbell's head so easily. That's just the thing that I just find fascinating, is that Iowa's offensive coordinator was able to elicit this sort of response from the head coach of Iowa State University.
Do you think it was intentional then, or do you think that was just Brian being Brian? You and I both know Brian Ferentz. We've known him for a long time. Do you think it was intentional, or do you think that was just Brian being Brian?
Oh, I think that's totally Brian being Brian. I don't think he really kind of thought about it. I think he was just tweaking him a little bit, and as Brian is known to do, and he kind of just fires a shot every once in a while just to let you know that he's here, and it clearly got under Matt Campbell's skin, and now he's doing this whole won't say Akram Wadley's name and won't say Iowa or Hawkeyes or anything, and that's fine. That's his choice. To me, this game is just, it's huge for Campbell because he's looking for that signature win. I mean, he's in year two and he wants that that big signature win that the fan base craves, and this is about as signature as it gets for the Iowa State program, because this is just a big game for them. It's a big game for Iowa too, because if they're going to make a run this year, I think this is a game that they've got to get.
Are fans and media members alike taking for granted at all just how good Josie Jewell is?
I was telling a friend of mine today, is Joe, and I asked him this question, and Todd, it's our friend, the Ancient One, who is a longtime Iowa observer, and I said, is Josie Jewell the best linebacker of the Ferentz era? And I think you could make a case that he is. I think you could make him a case that he's the best middle linebacker, and that's no disrespect to my good friend Pat Anger or Abdul Hodge. I just think the guy's special. I mean, he's just really, really good. And I think he's the best middle linebacker and arguably the best linebacker of the Ferentz era.
Tom, I'll leave you with a parting gift. I know how big of a deal things like alternate uniforms are on HawkeyeReport.com and the rest of Iowa message board land. I was told by a very reliable source over the weekend that it will not be the Ohio State game this year, that they break out the alternate uniform that Kirk Ferentz referenced in Chicago at Big Ten Media Day. So do with that what you will, but I was told that somebody wanted to do that and that the veto pen was taken out. Imagine,
I wonder when they're going to do it.
Imagine that, right? Now, I don't know. Maybe the info is deliberately misleading, but I got it on pretty good grounds. But maybe it'll be North Texas. Wouldn't that be the ultimate Iowa move? We're gonna do the uniforms.
The Illinois game for homecoming. They're gonna bring back the banana peels for the homecoming game.
Minnesota game, right? Is it home this year?
Yeah, maybe Minnesota. Tweak the boat rope. Maybe they'll put some boat oars instead of banana peels on the shoulder pad.
Now that would be the ultimate Brian Ferentz try. Brian Ferentz to go to war with every coach that shares a border with Iowa. He tried.
It's one of the reasons that I want Brian Ferentz to be the head coach at the University of Iowa eventually, someday, is because it would be wildly entertaining to see him tweaking everybody.
Tom, we appreciate it as always, and we'll see you Saturday in Ames.
Okay, see you then. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com, who does not own Jay Cutler on his fantasy football team, nor does he own a Casey Kreider jersey. Says he wouldn't be intimidated by somebody wearing the jersey of a long snapper. Now, a CT on the text line says he's got a light baby blue Chargers jersey and a Colt Brennan Hawaii jersey. What should he wear to the draft tonight? You got to go Colt Brennan.
Absolutely. That is a rare artifact that he has.
Now, I want to be very clear about this. If you are in the league and going to Brick Alley Sports Pub in Marion tonight, you do not need to wear an obscure football jersey. But I think
it's encouraged.
I'm sensing a trend here. The jersey of a long snapper and Colt, he's still got the NCAA passing record, right?
The single season touchdown. Passing touchdown record, yes.
Okay. Was it the other Hawaii quarterback?
Timmy Chang, I believe.
That passed him up. The immortal Timmy Chang. 521, here's what we're going to do. We need to get to Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, and we will do that when we return after this. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. More on the way after this.
When you are on your way up, a connection may have changed the trajectory of your career. Return the favor at the Innovation Expo, Tuesday, September 19th, the state's largest entrepreneurial showcase. Come meet Iowa's best and brightest and be part of Iowa's next big idea. Tracks include the Seed and Venture Forum and a business showcase. Your success can inspire these entrepreneurs to grow Iowa's economy with their ideas. Attend EDC Inc.'s Innovation Expo, September 19th at the Coralville Marriott. Details at edcinc.org.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
The final days of the Ford Summer Sales event are here. Now through September 5th, save big on Ford SUVs like Escape, Edge, and Explorer with 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Time is running out to save on America's best-selling brand. It's the last chance to get 0% financing for 72 months plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in across a full lineup of Ford SUVs. Hurry, it's the final days of the Ford Summer Sales event going on at your Ford dealer. Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade Assist Cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by September 5th, 2017.
Welcome back in, 5:23, the Todd Brommelkamp Show continuing on, coming up in about just under 7 minutes. Less than 7 minutes from now, we're going to hook you up with tickets to get the Let Out next Thursday at the Paramount Theater. Those tickets are on sale right now at the Paramount box office. Kyle will be joining us shortly for another Big Board update, but first, another edition of Coach's Cuts. It's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, the solution to your missing IT piece. Call them now, 319-247-7223. Kirk Ferentz earlier today in Iowa City.
Certainly pleased with the way we played. And I think probably the most positive thing was just our responses to the bumps that took place. And you're hoping those things don't take place, but going into any first game, you're never sure. Any game for that matter, but first games especially, you're a little bit anxious about just how you're going to perform with some new guys at critical spots. And we didn't protect the ball very well. That was very evident. But our defense never broke stride. You know, they went out and responded in a real positive way. I think that was a big positive. It was probably as good a thing as I saw out there. I'm not an expert, but just an outsider's opinion. It looks like they transitioned a lot faster than we did. It took us quite a while to get some traction. Yeah, from my vantage point, mid-season on, you know, they're playing much better. You know, the first half of the season, you can take all those tapes really and just throw them out. They're not much of much value for us to look at. But I think mid-season on, they started to, you know, people kind of started embracing what they were doing, what the staff was selling, at least watching on film, and you know, they started playing together and got really positive results. And you know, had a couple of really good wins, but also, you know, losing to Oklahoma, Kansas State the way they did, you know, they were playing, and certainly we saw further progress Saturday. It looked like a really good football team on Saturday. Yeah, it's an interesting matchup that way. You know, their experience is on the perimeter where our inexperience is, you know, prominent. So, and then the other thing they've got great size. I mean, unusual size. You can start those two guys you just mentioned. You know, it'd be a good start to a basketball team, intramural basketball team, if you're going to do that. So matching up size-wise is going to be a challenge, and they use their size well. And then their experience, and they've got a good group, a good core of receivers. It's more than two guys. So, you know, we're all going to have to do a good job, and that includes our linebackers again. You know, you got Ben Neiman out in coverage quite a bit. They'll get Bo out there in coverage the way they do things. So, yeah, they're going to put some pressure on us. There's no question about that, and that's their design. You know, it's a really tough place to play for anybody that visits there. So, It's going to be another test for him. Last week was his first test, playing where he was the starting quarterback. This is week number two, and it's about as tough as it's going to get for him. So it'll be another measure for him. The good thing is, he went through some adversity Saturday and responded well. It's certainly encouraging, and his teammates supported him well, and that helps too. So I'm sure we'll be in those situations again this weekend, and hopefully we can, push through it and find something good. I mean, they're just a really good offensive football team. I would say they're very veteran. Their lack of experience, or the least experience, is up front with the inside guys, and I thought they really played well as a unit the other night. So, I mean, they were in sync. They were together. They look. I mean, they're all on the same page, and that's what good lines do. So, it jumps out at you, and it's kind of pretty impressive because some of those guys haven't played as much as some of the other guys. So. They really did a nice job with their scheme. They're very, very comfortable with it. And, they got a veteran quarterback, and the running back is not good. He's really good. Okay. I mean, he's really good. That guy runs hard. He's tough. And if there's a crack there, he'll get it, and it might be over here. It might be back there, and he'll make the cut. And, so, I mean, they stretch you sideline to sideline. They'll throw it down the field. So I don't know what else there's left. I mean, they're pretty good at it, what they do.
I'll try to go in order here because it's always confusing playing a big lump of audio together like that. But that was Kirk Ferentz talking about how the Iowa defense responded to the adversity it faced at times against Wyoming last week. Lots of talk about Matt Campbell and the Cyclones there. A little bit on quarterback Nate Stanley and their biggest concern for Iowa State coming up this weekend. Again, Coach's Cuts brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. If your business struggles with operating on outdated hardware or unsupported software, Network Computer Solutions can help you get moving in the right direction. Give them a call, 319-247-7223. Here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, with over 40 locations for your banking needs across the corridor.
The Iowa football team beat Wyoming 24-3 on Saturday, thanks largely to its defense, which held Josh Allen to under 200 yards passing, and linebacker Josie Jewell is feeling the love after his performance. His 14 tackles, 7 solo, 2 sacks, and 2 more tackles for loss earned him a Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, as well as Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today, and he told us that Iowa's captains this weekend will be Jewell, Nathan Budgeta, Sean Welsh, and Kevin Ward. Northern Iowa's basketball schedule was released today, and it starts fast with a trip to Chapel Hill to meet North Carolina on November 10th. The first home game will be with Alcorn State on November 13th, and the first conference game will be hosting Southern Illinois on December 28th. The Colonels wrapped up their regular season over the weekend, dropping a series to the Beloit Snappers, but got some great news in regards to their impending postseason series with Kane County. Clark Beaker will return to Cedar Rapids from Fort Myers and will start Game 2 against the Cougars on Thursday. He made 20 starts for the Colonels this season, going 11-3 with an ERA just over 2. They'll start that playoff series tomorrow night at home. Tonight after our show, we've got our KGYM listener draft, and you guys have the Twins and Rays from Tampa. It's Bartolo Colon and Jake Odorizzi on the mound. They'll start shortly after 6, and we'll join them in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gem.
Thank you very much, Kyle. We have a lot of stuff to get to here. We've reached the halfway point of the program tonight, but first and foremost, we've got tickets to Get the Lead Out, which is the American Led Zeppelin. And that's going to be at the Paramount Theater next Thursday night. It's a 7 o'clock show. And actually, maybe I've got to double check the dates here because I'm seeing two different things here. I was told next Thursday. I hate doing this. I hate it when I screw something up. I hate being in this position.
September the 14th.
Okay. Well, my apologies. I did have the correct date. Somebody else is wrong. So next Thursday. Tickets are on sale now. The Paramount Theater box office, I believe they're $32.50 for reserved seats. You can get them. Also, any information. You know what? I just screwed the whole damn thing up. So let's just give away the tickets. 366-1600, caller number 6. We come back. We'll talk a little college football.
We're going to get to a bottom of the hour sports beat, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 12 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
Week one is in the books and ended with a bang last night. One of those games you wish you didn't have a loser, but those games don't exist except in soccer, you know, ties. But nobody wants a tie either, so you're stuck with the outcome. Tennessee, led by a first-time starter at quarterback with a defense that made big plays late when it had to, overcame a 14-point fourth-quarter deficit to force overtime with Georgia Tech, and then in double overtime. Tech head coach Paul Johnson decided before his team's possession that if they scored a touchdown, they were going to go for two to win the game. They scored and went for two and were stopped. You know, they'd averaged about 6 yards a rush all night but couldn't get the two they needed then. Hate to see a team lose when they lay their guts on the table like that. But good for the Vols. One day after watching Kevin Sumlin's SEC team blow a 34-point lead and lose to UCLA, Butch Jones saw his own come from behind against a team it's tough to do that against. Now, today, the hot seat talk in the SEC stays in Texas and, at least for now, out of Tennessee. I said, for now. In 60 seconds, the biggest week one stunner isn't what you might think.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
AutoZone presents Peak Performance. Maximizing fuel economy, engine life, and overall performance doesn't take a lot. Thanks to fuel treatment and fluids from AutoZone. Right now, you can save $4 on 16 ounces of Seafoam motor treatment for only $7.99. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
I'm sure you heard about it. Howard beat UNLV Saturday night, a 45-point underdog, where the Bison pulling the biggest point spread upset in college football history. In fact, if you'd have bet $100 on Howard to win, you'd have won $55,000. Yeah, it was a shocker, but maybe not the biggest shocker. See, Texas gave up a 51 spot at home to Maryland and lost. The greatest young coach since sliced bread watched his defense get sliced by a Terps team picked near the bottom of the Big Ten. Sure, it's year one for Tom Herman, but if you pay attention to the AP voters, his was a top 25 team before it even played a game. Herman might be an offensive genius, but as we saw Saturday, nobody can fix that defense in just one offseason. Hook 'em, Terps. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
The final days of the Ford summer sales event are here. Now through September 5th, save big on Ford SUVs like Escape, Edge, and Explorer with 0% financing for 72 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Time is running out to save on America's best-selling brand. It's the last chance to get 0% financing for 72 months plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in across a full lineup of Ford SUVs. Hurry, it's the final days of the Ford Summer Sales Event going on at your Ford dealer.
Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by September 5th, 2017.
.535, we have officially reached the halfway point of the Todd Brownlow-Camp show, and wouldn't you know it, that was my fault. I'm going to take responsibility for that. I pulled up bad information, and then I got frustrated about it, and then, well, things spiraled out of control, and here I am trying to push the boulder back up the hill again. 319-366-1600. That's the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Congratulations, by the way, to Tim in Monticello. He is going to be headed off to the Paramount Theater next Thursday night for Get the Lead Out. The tickets on sale, as mentioned, two different price levels, $34 and $49. You can get those tickets online at ParamountTheaterCR.com or stop by in person at the Paramount box office, and we'll have those coming up for you tomorrow. A twofer, if you will. Just like those classic rock stations, you know, the twofers, back-to-back Led Zeppelin. We're going to have a pair of tickets for you as a general giveaway tomorrow, and then we'll play for them on the 6 o'clock showdown as well. Plenty more Hawkeye football player audio to come. We'll tell you a little bit more about our fantasy football draft coming up later tonight. And a big thank you once again to not only Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Marion for playing host to us this evening. They're on 7th Avenue. If you want to swing by and say hi to the guys, we'll all be there. But Chick-fil-A and the Lindale location, Mark and his crew there, Bob Schmidt, the proprietor, good friends of KGYM, hooking us up with some sandwiches tonight. And then we've got some other snacks. Now, guys, if you're listening, if you're in the league tonight, it is BYOB, buy your own beer. You're on your own for refreshments, but we will have sandwiches and snacks for you there as well. Lots of college football to talk about. Finally, we have made our way through the desert, and here we are in the land of milk and honey. College football is back. Big Ten results from last weekend. A mixed bag, if you will. You've got people already saying Saquon Barkley is going to win the Heisman. He ran for 226 yards and a couple touchdowns. He did it against Akron. I like Saquon Barkley. Penn State beat Akron 52-0. Okay? Let's temper our expectations until Saquon Barkley is doing that against Ohio State's defensive line. Right? Michigan beat Florida 33-17. I don't think that was necessarily a huge shocker given the fact that half of Florida's team was suspended. The game, two games, and your Dari Noka there on the Sports Beat reference, one of them that caught my attention. Maryland beating Texas by 10 on the road. Not only that, but winning 51-41. Okay, you've got my attention, Maryland, although Texas was not very good last year. They cost Charlie Strong his job, and Tom Herman's got some things to fix there most undoubtedly. The other game that piqued my interest, Nebraska beat Arkansas State 43-36. That was the first game former Iowa linebacker Bobby Diaco had as a defensive coordinator in Lincoln. Gave up 36 to Nebraska.
It's interesting when you bring in a guy like Bob Diaco and you think that you can just sprinkle fairy dust on a defense and make them better right away. And I think that Saturday night showed that that's not the case. Arkansas State was down on the Nebraska red zone with a chance to tie that game up late in the game. So there is a long way for this Nebraska defense to go. And I know all the questions preseason were offensively. How are they going to replace the depth they lost at wide receiver? What is Tanner Lee going to look like as the quarterback in Lincoln? But man, that defense looked very, very bad against Arkansas State.
Illinois beat Ball State 24-21. Michigan State 35-10 winner over Bowling Green. Neither one of those games of any interest. Northwestern beat Jay Norvell in Nevada 31-20 in Norvell's debut as head coach of the Wolfpack, another former Iowa player with coaching ties to a Big Ten Week 1 game. Louisville and Purdue 35-28 at Lucas Oil Stadium, which I think kind of goes to show that Jeff Brohm can at least light a fire under Purdue and maybe get some results early on, because a lot of people, what was that, an 18-point spread in Vegas? Didn't think that was going to be close at all. The Friday night games we talked a little bit about at Fry Fest, Wisconsin did Wisconsin things. If you're going to schedule Utah State, you beat them 59-10 under the lights at Camp Randall Stadium. That's just what you do. Rutgers, you guys are welcome on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. I told you to take Rutgers and the points. They got the cover against Washington in they lost 30-14, but they didn't lose in Las Vegas. And outside of the Big Ten, what caught your eye in week one of college football? Because we talked about it at the open of the show. There were some unexpected losses. Let's put it that way. Howard going and beating UNLV on the road. A $100 wager would have made you $50,000. How about that? Baylor losing in week one. Some of the other storylines out there.
I think the starting with Baylor, that's going to be a complete rebuild for Matt Rhule, because that was a team that was built on the spread offense and built on the athletes on the outside on defense, and that's not the way Matt Rhule wants to play football. So the personnel that is in Waco right now is not going to win very many games for the Bears, and I think Iowa State fans, that's good news for Iowa State fans as they venture towards that 6-win mark of trying to get to a bowl game, because Baylor just does not look like a good football team. Did you catch that game on Sunday night in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena? UCLA and Texas A&M.
I did not. I read about it the next morning.
Texas A&M was up 44-10 with 3 minutes remaining in the third quarter and lost 45-44. And this was a battle between two teams whose coaches sit squarely on the hot seat. The first half or the first three quarters of that game, you look at the college football Twitterverse, Jim Mora, he's gone. He's going to get fired. He's going to get left in Pasadena. He's not even going to get a ride back to campus. And then this comeback starts to happen where Josh Rosen is throwing touchdown passes all over the yard. Texas A&M's defense is folding like a taco and missing interceptions and missing tackles and not turning their head when the ball is thrown and just making mistake after mistake, missing short on a 35-yard field goal. And all of a sudden, Texas A&M has a member of their board of regents come out and say, fire Kevin Sumlin. So I just found that game riveting, and that was one of the biggest collapses I have ever seen by that Texas A&M team. You brought up the Maryland-Texas game. That's going to be a very, very uphill climb, a big uphill climb for Tom Herman. Texas is just not the same Texas program that we saw 8 to 10 years ago. And until they prove that they're gonna that they come back, I'll believe it when I see it, is basically what I'm saying. Because so many teams in that conference and in that region have passed them up, and they have a long way to go. And then last night, Georgia Tech versus Tennessee. Georgia Tech runs for almost 500 or over 500 yards and loses the game. And then that other game on Sunday night, Virginia Tech and West Virginia was a very good game. So many good matchups. On the downside, DeAndre Francois of Florida State. I thought Florida State was a definite playoff contender. Not only do they lose 24-7 to Alabama, I thought if they just lose to Alabama, no injuries, they're still a playoff contender. They lose to Alabama, and they lose their one of the better quarterbacks in the country, and DeAndre Francois, he tore his patella tendon, and it looks like their season, their playoff chances are all but done. And Clemson, after looking very impressive, Kelly Bryant steps in for Deshaun Watson. Looks like they're in the driver's seat in the ACC.
Okay, can we talk about what I really want to get to today from last night's game between Tennessee and Georgia Tech? And I don't necessarily love going down this road, because I have a feeling there's going to be a section of the listeners out there that every time I mention anything related to Tennessee, they're going to think that I'm referencing or bringing up Tennessee solely to make fun of my former co-host who's now done. No. I would be making fun of this even if I had no ties to anyone who worked in the Tennessee. What's the deal with the trash can on the Tennessee sidelines? You're probably wondering that if you watched the game last night. It's a motivational tactic by head coach Butch Jones for the Tennessee defense. The trash can is supposed to motivate them to get turnovers. And then you bring the ball back to the sideline and you dunk it in the trash can. Now, Miami also has some sort of ridiculous, they've got the takeaway chain. What the hell do they call it?
They have the chain.
It's just the chain? I thought it was the takeaway.
Yeah, it's okay. A chain. They have a takeaway chain. I've seen other teams with takeaway belts. So this is a common thing around college football, but not an honest-to-goodness trash can.
Someone on the Tennessee sideline is basically either paid or tasked with holding up a trash can to motivate the defense. Why? To bring in and reference another person that I worked with alongside in the Cage Webb studios for a number of years. I'm watching the game, and my first thought, honest to God, last night, my first thought was, does the trash can have a Twitter account yet?
It has to by now.
I looked last night, and I didn't see nobody had created a trash can Twitter account for the Tennessee. I don't know. I know that they say working with kids nowadays, and it's a different generation, and you've got to motivate them. There it is. At 10 trash can, TNN trash can on Twitter. HTB, hide the ball. The initials on the, it's an acronym, I guess. And, well, you know what? There you go.
First picture.
I got my wish. Somebody between last night and today has now created a Twitter account. And I guess it makes you appreciate it if you're an Iowa fan a little bit more that you've in Kirk Ferentz. Can you see Kirk Ferentz having somebody on the staff hold up a trash can on the sideline, or Iowa State endorsing the gold chain? It's gold, right? This big gaudy gold chain that they've got in Miami.
I like it if it's cool. Just if it's a good idea, but it's a trash can.
Football. If you're gonna look,
I enjoy it.
The jokes and the material writes itself. If you give up, 600 yards last night? You gave up 600 yards. You won the game, but you gave up 600 yards, and
there's a trash can.
There's a trash can on your sideline, and the internet is going to do with that what the internet does. Somebody needs to step in and have an intervention for Mr. Champions of Life in Knoxville and say, hey, you may want to think this through.
655 yards.
You may not want to have somebody hold up what could be a symbol of a really garbage football team and maybe rethink this. Tell your players, imagine it in their heads, whatever, but to have an honest to God, what do? You go to Home Depot, I guess, and yeah, give me a trash can. And then put a student manager or something in charge of... It's like, you know what it reminds me of? And if Tyler's listening, he'll laugh. Because it reminds me of something that Iowa... Herky, the mascot, had the scream machine at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. You know what it was? It was a black garbage can. And they had just made a sign and they called it Herky's Scream Machine. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. That thing, it's a trash can. But this was somebody on the sideline holding up a literal trash can. That being said, that was an entertaining football game last night. And they've announced it's Alabama next year in that game. Chick-fil-A sponsors it. They played it in the Mercedes-Benz Arena. Looks amazing. They've got a 360-degree video board inside the arena. And a Chick-fil-A that was open because last night was Monday. It's only closed on Sundays when the Falcons play there. Their main tenant.
They played two games there this weekend, one on Saturday and one on Monday. So Chick-fil-A was open for business. But remember when we were talking, and I don't want to rekindle this flame. That's not what I'm trying to do. But remember when we were talking about ESPN's corporate decision to move Robert Lee off of the yes. Virginia game? If Tennessee would have those same corporate people to say, you know what, maybe having a trash can on the sideline would drum up some, not necessarily controversy, but we would become a walking meme on Twitter. We would become a punchline. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe if you had those people, would talk some sense into them.
I thought you were going to tell me there was an announcer out there whose name was like John Trash or something like that, and ESPN was like, we can't have you doing the Tennessee-Indiana
Jim
State game.
Can.
I think I heard that right last night. They play Indiana State in their next game. Is that homecoming in week two already in the SEC?
They do play Indiana State next week, and their homecoming comes later in the year against Southern Mississippi on November the 4th.
Oh, I got to think that's at least a better game than Indiana State, so kudos. Look, I'm watching the game, and again, I mentioned this at the start of the program. The only thing I could think of in watching that game last night, and it made me a little bit sad because I liked him so much, was it made me think back to Norm Parker diagramming for the media during his availability prior to the Orange Bowl with glasses of orange juice and Coca-Cola cups, how you slow down or how you go about attacking Paul Johnson's triple option that he runs there at Georgia Tech, which he ran quite well last night, except not well enough on the final play where it looked like somebody screwed up somewhere along the way on the two-point conversion. Otherwise, we're talking about Georgia Tech winning that game and Tennessee getting off to an 0-1 start. But I think back to the Orange Bowl, and I think about what Iowa was able to do to slow down a Georgia Tech team that had some really good offensive players on it. And that was all Norm Parker. It was all Norm Parker. And it goes back, you were gone on Friday, but Mitch King was with us, with me and Rob Howe on the big hour, the 6 o'clock hour on Friday, talking about Norm Parker always used to say, get the brown thing. That was how he taught people defense. You see the little brown thing? Go get it. And to see a team struggle the way that Tennessee did last night to slow down Georgia Tech and then to put that up against what Iowa was able to do several years ago, man, it makes me miss Norm Parker.
Does anybody have video of Norm Parker using the glasses?
Oh, I think it's out there. Let's see. Yeah, I think we were doing the whole cell phone video. The media had pivoted at that point away from the written word to watch these videos. That's the world that we live in now. But it was fantastic. We're sitting there in a ballroom, and here's Norm. Well, you got to do this and this, and all of a sudden the orange juice starts moving around the table, and we're sitting there going, very few other coaches in the country would be doing this right now. And there's Norm. It takes me back to the time, I think it was an Outback Bowl, where Norm Parker grabbed Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette and was demonstrating blocking technique and how to get under the shoulder pads, walking elephants and walking. I can't, someone else out there will know the phrase Norm used to all is elephants and tigers or something like that, and just grabs Morehouse and gets right up under the armpits. 5:53, the Todd Bromelkamp Show will continue after this. You're listening on 106.3, 107.5 FM and 1600 AM. Back with more after this.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Friday at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM and get ready for West Branch football action. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Welcome back in, 5:55. It sounds like that Miami-Tampa Bay game is going to be rescheduled for Week 11, which is coincidentally a bye week for both teams.
Oh, they got lucky there.
But we'll see whether the NFL Players Association allows that or not, because, well, they're not going to be fans, especially in this day and age of player safety, having teams play 16 consecutive games in a row like that. So we'll wait and see, but it does sound as if they're trending in that direction. Keep that in mind as you set your fantasy football lineups in Week 1. We'll talk fantasy football tomorrow with the one and only Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com. Here now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. the one and only Kyle Mann.
The Iowa football team beat Wyoming 24-3 on Saturday, thanks largely to its defense, which held Josh Allen to under 200 yards passing, and linebacker Josie Jewell is feeling the love after his performance. His 14 tackles, 7 solo, 2 sacks, and 2 more tackles for loss earned him the Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, as well as Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. Kirk Ferentz spoke to the media in Iowa City today, and he told us that Iowa's captains this week will be Jewell, Nathan Budgeta, Sean Welsh, and Kevin Ward. Northern Iowa's basketball schedule was released today, and it starts fast with a trip to Chapel Hill to meet North Carolina on November 10th. The first home game will be with Alcorn State on November 13th, and the first conference game will be hosting Southern Illinois on December 28th. The Colonels wrapped up their regular season over the weekend, dropping a series to the Beloit Snappers, but they got some great news in regards to their impending postseason series with Kane County. Clark Beaker will return to Cedar Rapids from Fort Myers and will start Game 2 against the Cougars on Thursday. He made 20 starts for the Colonels this season, going 11-3 with an ERA just over 2. The Colonels also made another move just late this afternoon, a little bit ago, getting Ariel Montesino from Fort Myers and releasing Amoris Minier from the roster. Tonight after our show, we've got our KGYM listener draft, and you guys have the Twins and Rays from Tampa. It's Bartolo Colon and Jake Odorizzi on the mound. They'll start shortly after 6, and we'll join them in progress on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
So if you joined us at Fry Fest on Friday, we were handing out cards to all of you that walked by, and they had an individual number on them, and we said we were going to call some of those numbers today, and if you were holding one of the cards, we're going to make a winner out of you. The gym class called a number. We called another number related to Gabe Kuhn, Alex's brother, earlier today. We have not had a winner yet. So how about if you are the holder of card number 222, card 222, call us at 319-366-1600. You will have to, of course, prove that you are the holder of said card. But if you hung on to that from FryFest on Friday, you're going to be $100 richer. MLBTradeRumors.com's Ed Creech is set to join us coming up as we kick off hour number 3. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
The final days of the Ford Summer Sales Event are here, and so is our best offer of the year on F-150. Get 0% financing for 72 months.